Welcome to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Rob, and joined with me, my friends, Mike.
Love is in the air.
And Lou.
He stole my stuff.
What? No, he said something different.
He stole it. He stole it.
So I
love re-recording the intro. Yeah.
So this thought came across my mind, and I just wanted to share it with you guys before we get into the topic this week. If we ever got big enough to, you know, do a live touring show, what appropriate thing would you include on the VIP like ticket? Like, we're gonna go get Taco Bell together, you know, have Taco Bell catered. What would you have for people that buy the VIP tickets? What would be like your pre-show thing? So I would say, yeah, we just share a meal together. I feel like that'd be fun. Just get some. Yeah, I feel like it'd be talk. We feel like we talk about Taco Bell enough that we'd cater Taco Bell. So you pay for the VIP ticket. Then you get to have Taco Bell with us, do a round table discussion type thing.
I love that idea. I think there's really nothing better than getting somebody to pay extra money and then providing them Taco Bell.
Whole Taco Bell.
For their...
from the day before.
For your
leftovers.
Extra dollars. Have a soggy Crunchwrap Supreme on us.
Hey, and well, during the orders, we'll have take comments. We'll take orders. You know, hope it turns out. Well, in theory, we'd be like touring, so I don't know if we can. You know, I guess maybe if we had a vehicle that had a grill on it, we could grill. But you know, I'm trying to think of what would be in most cities.
I gotcha. I would want to do, and here's my thought: I would want to do another frozen pizza taste test with our VIPs.
Each time? Oh, gosh.
Hey, man, when I went to Meijer the other day, there were so many. I saw a Cheez-It pizza, and I was like, I can already feel the next episode starting.
Welcome to the episode of the Top Podcast. We eat pizza.
Just, like, manually breathing the whole time.
You got something, Lou?
The first thing that came to mind was I would homemade a stamp, and I would stamp people's foreheads, like Top Podcast.
There you go.
But then I thought, well, that's not really funny. I think a really cool would be, what's the Jack in a Box? Jackbox?
Oh, that party games. I was going to say, like, if you're... Taco Bell's a little too classy. We're going Jack in the Box.
Actually a good idea.
That is.
Yeah, not Jack in the Box, but Jackbox. I think that'd be fun. Because I feel like that's kind of close to what we're doing sometimes.
And mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, then you get the sheriff and it's just all downhill from there. What about
is funny to exactly five people, yep. Most of whom do not listen to this podcast.
But just in case. What about
two
what
of whom are on the podcast?
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think Luke. Oh, yeah, me. I guess I count. What about, like, we do a Smash Bros. Tournament or some? You could do your Night Fire tournament. Lou and I could play Smash with them, you know. Be fun too.
That'd be fun. Video game tournament with the VIPs.
Yeah, for sure.
Throw down.
You get down.
All right, Mike. This was your idea for this topic. What are we talking about this week?
This week is a week of second chances. I can't tell you how many times we finished the episode and I've walked away and been like, ah, dang, I should have said blank. And here's our chance to discuss them. So we are doing top three things we wish we had remembered to say or thought to say on previous episodes. And no, we're not just doing this to plug a bunch of episodes all at once. That's a happy coincidence.
But you can find them all on our channels.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to all 103 of them up to this point, 102, go back. Start at the beginning and then...
Yeah, maybe.
No. Skip a few.
You can't see, but I'm doing the little cut. Like, I'm shaking my hand in front of my... Don't go all the way back. Dan has gone all the way back. He's listened to some from the beginning, and he's like, there's some great stuff in there. Lou used to be really unhinged. but the sound quality is garbage. And I'm like, yeah, it's terrible.
Well, what's your first one, Mike? Or number three, I guess.
So... my number three, and these actually, realistically, these are in no particular order because they're just things that I wish I had thought to say. My number three comes from the episode Things That Grind My Gears. Something that really grinds my gears are mobile phone advertisements, like when you're playing an app and you didn't pay for no ads, and it's got the little X up in the corner, but pressing the X doesn't actually do anything, or the X is the hitbox is actually so small that you can't ever hit it, and it just keeps taking you to the Play Store page.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, whoever came up with that idea, they deserve a raise. Brilliant. They also deserve to be boiled in oil. It drives me nuts. Maybe it's that I'm blind and I just can't do it.
No, it's not.
But, yeah, okay, not just me. So frustrating.
Would that be, just to bring in another episode, would that be a straight-to-jail type thing?
Oh! Could also be a straight-to-jail. Honestly, I might have...
We did. We did a dictator one.
Straight-to-jail was basically...
Grinds My Gears Part 2.
Grinds My Gears Part 2, yeah, so... It could have been either one that I made that note for.
What games are you playing that have that X?
That's a great question. Not a bunch anymore. The app that I use to do Photoshop-esque things, I have since paid for the lifetime subscription because I used it consistently for like 2 or 3 years, and I was like, well, if I'm going to use this consistently, I may as well put some money into it. And it's been great. Unlocked a bunch of features and stopped getting ads. And big fan.
It's episode 51.
It's called Row Editor Polish something.
Yeah, I also just hate
Editor Pro-Polish. That's the one. Sorry.
See, I also just hate that now, like, no ads is, like, $10. Like, if it was $1, I would occasionally throw it, like, with the Google rewards, because I just have $1. But now they're $10. Like, well, it's like I'm going to be missing that X a few times and smashing the back button.
Well, sorry.
There's that old unhinged Lou. He's coming back.
We got him. Well, Lou, what's your number three?
My number three... I don't know which one's the worst. I completely saw this completely differently. Things that I said that I shouldn't have said. I don't know if that's completely different than we're actually talking about.
It's the exact opposite, but I'm here for it. So, you know,
so
why not?
Sorry. I just don't listen.
Old school classic Lou. I love it.
Happened last week too, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And I re-listened to what you said, and it's a little confusing because you said we're doing 80s, and then you said we're doing 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. So, in the same sentence. So it was a little confusing.
I see where you could get confused, actually.
I was a little confused. That's all I'm saying. This one I have no excuses for, but there's been more things that I've said that I wish I didn't say than things I left out because I've said weird things. I'm going to go top novels. I said the best novel that I've ever read was a book called Looking for Alaska. And I've read so many more books, and I cannot believe that I said that the best novel I've ever read was Looking for Alaska.
But Spirit Tigers.
Is that Looking for Alaska?
I thought that wasn't there something, some guy had a tattoo about a tiger? That's all I remember about that.
I have no idea.
The actual state of Alaska. That's all I know.
No idea. I'm not saying it's a bad book. It's a John Green book. It's just not the best book. Like, it just clearly isn't. If it's your favorite book, I'm so sorry, but you're not listening to this podcast. You're doing some other weird things.
Would you put Red Rising up there instead?
It's more of a, I don't know. My favorite book versus the best book are two different categories. That book was just there for me when I needed something to just escape from reality. And then I just fell in love with it after that.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely isn't the best book. My Christian is reading it right now. And the female perspective is one hell of a perspective.
Red Rising or Searching for Alaska?
Red Rising.
Mike couldn't even make it like 3 chapters in.
You know, No,
that's so not true. I read like a third of the book.
I thought just by the way Lou's reaction is like, you haven't even gotten to the good part. I thought it was like, you know.
He hasn't gotten to the good part. The good
part is apparently more than 33% of the way
book
into the book.
Book four is when it really starts picking up speed.
No. He just has to go into the arena and fight people. That's where it gets good. That's all I'm saying. But you need to do some will building before he just started bashing heads in. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there was at least one head bash. I read a head bash, and it was fine.
Okay, Christian cried when she read that head bash, which I thought was hilarious. I thought he was going to be farther in the
take book. On the female perspective.
I don't know. I'm not getting in trouble here, guys. She listens to the podcast.
Well, it's up next in my book series to read, so I'll get to it.
It's going to be short work for all the books that you've been reading. You should be able to quickly go through that.
That's true. Well, my list I have in the most recent one is number 3, because I figured, you know, that's the foremost on our minds. But actually, just because the one further back was the one I was most excited to talk about, so it just kind of happened that way. But this one came just a few episodes ago. I know we brought it up before the pod, you know, preparing for it, but we forgot to talk about, and it was a deep dive, so this can be kind of an everything. We forgot to talk about how we feel about people clapping after worship songs.
Oh, good pullback. I was so annoyed that we forgot to talk about this.
Yep, so here's our chance. Mike, you sound like you got some opinions.
So, yeah, this is weird. So I have some family members who grew up in the Plymouth Brethren School of Thought, most of which I do not share. However, something that I just internalized accidentally is the idea that you should not clap after a worship song. And essentially my thought is this. I'm always like, hey, I don't think you should clap after a worship song. And people go, well, we're not clapping for the performance. We're clapping for Jesus.
Clap for that Jesus, baby. Clap it. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what the song was. The song was clapping for Jesus. You are now emotionally responding to music and clapping because you feel a little awkward not doing it, because that's what you traditionally do when a person plays a song. And I have some leeway for this. There are definitely times where the song hits and you can feel the spirit moving and people are just genuinely moved. It's not always, and people clap a heck of a lot more than I think there's a genuine movement of overwhelming communal worship. It bothers me to no end, but I would love to hear opposing opinion.
The way you phrase it, is that people are clapping after every song. Is that what you've experienced a lot?
I wouldn't say every song, maybe once a lot. I would say any time that one song doesn't directly flow into another, anytime there's any full pause, it's like people clap. And that's another reason that I don't buy this thing that they're cheering for Jesus, is I'm like, no, you're filling the void. You don't feel comfortable with emptiness, and so you're clapping because it makes you feel less awkward. But yeah, I would say, yeah, and any time that it isn't like and like boom, we're into the next song, you know. And even when there is clapping. Some of that, yeah, unless it's a very immediate direct transition, I think people do it either one, because they're clapping for the performance, two, because they feel awkward not clapping, three, they feel awkward in the slight silence between songs. And it bothers me. It's not a big deal. There's nothing biblical to back this. I just don't like it.
What do you think, Lou?
Oh, I mean, I assume you guys already know how I feel.
You're a clapper?
God, no, I'm not a clapper. No, I'm not a clapper. I just don't care if other people clap. It just doesn't. I do not care. Unless there is a straight-up shooter in the place, I do not care. I don't care if somebody's farting. I don't care if somebody's pooping for Jesus. Poop for Jesus. Dude, if you want to drop a load up for Jesus, brother, drop a hot one for Jesus, man. I just don't care. The way that you serve, the way that you worship, it's no problem with me.
I'll tell my church leaders that. Sorry, guys, I don't need the volunteer. I poop for Jesus.
Do not care. I remember the one time we were at Bear Lake and the guy like screaming. Do you remember? Does anybody remember that?
Was he speaking in tongues?
I think so. Just he was in the back and he was just screaming, and I was like, "Brother, you do your thing, man. It's a little awkward, but if you need to scream, scream."
Mike, was that an objection to pooping for Jesus?
Yes, it was an objection to pooping for Jesus. Not so much pooping for Jesus, just how weird it made me feel.
Hey, it's not what comes out of the human body that, you know, it's what goes in. It's biblical, man. Me personally, I'm not a fan of it just because, you know, I've been up on the worship team, and while it's easy to deflect when I'm not, because I was quite infrequent doing it, but I know if I was up there frequently, it would go to my head after a while. So I'm like, I don't want people to, you know, get a big head. And, you know, maybe that's just self-conceited and everything like that. But I'm like, you know, that if you're like all that and being a worship pastor, I'd say that's sinful. So I don't want to, you know, help other people sin. So I do not personally clap, but again, that might be more my fallen nature than anyone else. Mike, did you ego trip whenever people clapped after your guitar solo when you were shredding?
People very rarely clapped after a guitar solo. Usually because those are sandwiched in the center of the, you know, like the two-thirds part. Like Red Rising, about the same time where as it gets good.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe. I just can't believe it.
But no, it's true. When like, when you guys really just bring it home and people clap, it inherently feels good. I think when I was on the worship team and there was clapping, it felt like they were clapping for us. I never was like, yeah, listen to them clap for Jesus. That never once crossed my mind because it's not what's happening. When I experience it as part of the congregation, I also am not like, yeah, they're clapping for Jesus. And what really, really deeply bothers me is when the worship leader starts the clapping.
Ooh.
Yeah, that is weird.
That one makes me lose my freaking mind. Two examples. One that's more subtle is sometimes the worship leader will just lightly clap, you know? And then everybody else picks it up, and it's like, okay, dude, whatever. What really bugs me is if you get a worship leader that's like, all right, give it up for God in this place. We just did! We just did! For 3 minutes and 30 seconds to four chords! That's what we just did! And we're going to do it two more times, and then we're going to do it again after the sermon! Stop ego-tripping,
dude! Jesus! Yeah! Rock out!
Yeah, it's garbage.
Well, what's your number two, Mike? And not that type of number two. Not number two for Jesus, but what's your number two for
Mike? Good callback, good callback.
That was excellent. All right. My number two goes all the way back to, if money was no object, what job would you choose to have? I believe that was Lou's pick. I think the exact question was, if all jobs paid the same, what would you choose to do? I would love to be a butcher. I think that would be really cool. I like meat. I like understanding the muscle sinew. Feel free to clip I Love Meat for social. It's just, I think that would be super fascinating to learn how to do that, to be able to cut my own steaks, to be able to just like get a half a cow and just, I know where to cut and how to remove silver skin. Me and my mom went out and bought a whole primal of ribeye. We got it for like $8 a pound. Which is a crazy good deal for ribeye. And I don't know what I'm doing with this thing. I thought it would be so simple. It's not. Trimming off the parts that are no good is
complicated, and I think it would be really, really cool to know how to do that for all the different cuts of meat. I just think that'd be fun.
Hey, Gusta Chicos.
He likes the meat. Mike has the meat.
I was thinking more of like, I've been really thinking about killing people, and I just thinking of one
other. I want like a Scott Tenorman situation, you know, with chili.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm so sorry. I have no idea.
Where's the degenerate? That's that deserves a degenerate right there.
Honestly, I don't know who Scott Tenorman is, but I was able to piece that together with context clues, and that's wild.
It's an old South Park episode that I definitely didn't watch when I was way too young.
Allegedly.
I'm pretty sure I was at it was like 6 or 7. I was at a friend's sleepover house.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Well, because, you know, it's a cartoon. So I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is. And then the guy, I'm not going to go into the whole things, but some people get grinded up and put in the chili and fed to people. And then he just pulls out this finger. And I was scarred. Maybe that's why I don't like chili. I like meat chili, but, you know, maybe that's for a long time. I just wouldn't eat chili. It was because of that South Park episode.
Well,
that seems like a reasonable assumption, in all honesty.
Yeah.
What's your number two, Lou?
Where did we get there? How did chili, we get there?
Chili, butchers. Mike likes the meat. It all started when Mike said he likes the meat.
He likes the meat. My number two is our dating episode. I didn't write down which episodes or what, but we said where would be our first date. And I put Taco Bell.
And there it is.
That's kind of dumb. that's a real clickbait answer. And I'm sorry. My wife doesn't like Taco Bell. So it makes no sense why I would say that's a good first date. She ate Taco Bell because she loved me. And she did not like it. Ever.
My wife is similar.
So. Yeah.
So I gotta ask, what would you switch it out for then? You know?
Literally any small...
Taco Bueno? Honestly,
what we put... Taco John? I heard
Del Taco? Yeah, I heard the potato Lays.
I heard those potato Lays.
That was episode 20. Cheap date news. I guess it was cheap. We have to be cheap, so...
It is a cheap, yes. I think... I don't remember. I didn't read the other two, but I knew that I said Taco Bell in this episode. But if I didn't say this, I should have said just a small coffee cafe... There's this French place that I took Mike at, and I think he would have done some strange things after I took him to this place. I think.
Is that why you paid?
Is that where he found out he liked the meat?
I could tell he was a little loosey goosey after I wined and dined him with croissants. So, or you know, he just wasn't eating sugar. And he got a buttload of it all in one.
They have a French press.
We smoked cigars and then pounded some croissants.
Croissants.
And yeah, that was a good time. That was a good day.
It was a good time. Yeah. So that's where I would take. That's a good first date.
There we go. Now, yeah, I remember Mike was pretty livid that you picked Taco Bell or something. Looking at the thumbnail, it's a Taco Bell, and Mike saying, like, this is stupid or whatever. So, don't remember. All I remember is that. But.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. Made the thumbnail.
Yeah. Oh, no, Mike's saying be gone thought, and because the girl's saying Taco Bell sucks, so maybe not. My number two comes from our bucket list episode. And this one, I want to know if... You guys are the weird type of people like me, or like if you would have to be paid to go here. But there's this place in Sweden where every year they take the ice that builds up from this river and they make a hotel out of it. So one thing I want to do is go to the ice hotel. That's what it's called. It's the original one in Sweden where everything is made out of ice. Would you guys be interested in doing that? Like, would you be like, yeah, that sounds great? Or be like, no, you have to pay for my trip and like pay for my stay there and everything. I think that sounds fantastic.
Sleeping in an ice hotel?
Yeah, so you're basically sleeping in the ice cells from like Game of Thrones, you know. And it's interesting, I watched this video about it. You're only allowed to say, you can't stay consecutive nights in the ice hotel. So if you book 3 nights at this hotel, in the middle night, they have like a regular hotel room because it's just like too cold and like you're going to get sick if you do that. But It's like everything is made out of ice. They have an orientation there where they tell you like the proper way to get in like your sleeping bag and get ready for bed and everything. And yeah, it looks insane. Like they have what they've made ice sculptures in each room and everything.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. Wouldn't be my first choice, but I also wouldn't be like,
I mean, yeah, you would have to pay for my stay, but that's more because I don't like to spend money on anything.
Yeah.
But like, if I had a bunch of money to spend on a vacation, it could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like I just sent a picture in our chat. They have like an ice bar where they serve all the drinks out of, you know, actual ice cups and everything, and then they got a. Apparently the beds are actually pretty, like, they're decent for what you would expect. It's not like being just on a slab. So, I think it'd be a great time. It's on my bucket list. I don't...
Wait, the bed is made of ice, too?
I think that part of the mattress... Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think my wife has a cold hands disease, so I don't know how she would do it.
Yeah, bro. You're not going to get touched.
Well, they do have separate sleeping bags, so... And also, it's like 20 degrees in there. -2 Celsius, I believe, is what they said. So I don't think a lot of people are doing a lot of touching there.
That's what I'm talking about. Whatever.
Don't want to lick anything either.
No. You'd be like the kid from
You know I'm a degenerate.
The Christmas Story.
Yep.
Fuck!
I just think it'd be so much fun. And they there's this one room they had. They also add like sound effects randomly to some rooms. And I just think it'd be a fun environment. I think it'd be one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You don't want to go back. Kind of like me in the Dead Sea. I don't want to... I had fun. I have no desire to go back, though. But it's in Sweden, so maybe I would. Mike?
Yeah, I think that's ultimately, like... There's cool stuff to do in Sweden, right?
Yeah. This is, like, in the...
So, like...
In the Arctic, though. Like, I think... If it's not in the Arctic, it's bordering the actual, like, Arctic zone. So you get some pretty sights.
I don't know. If there were cool stuff to do when I wasn't sleeping in a fridge, yeah, I could see it.
Oh, they have, like, ice carving things. They have, like, snowmobile things. You go out in the river that's, you know, frozen and everything. So they have a lot of other stuff you can do.
Okay. I could be persuaded.
Oh, no, apparently they also... They have a chapel in there, and they run a local church, ice church, through it, too. I want to go to ice church. That's
wild. I don't want to be cold at church.
Yeah, but we've all been on this pod that we like to run cold. We like the air to be cold when we're sleeping, so I think that's just the ultimate way to do it.
That's fair. I do like, yeah, I guess, you know, honestly, that literally just redefined the whole thought for me. Well, I try actually. It. I'm in.
It's kind of frustrating how quickly I switched up on that.
All right. So this is on you, Toppers in Sweden. Get us to the ice. We'll do a live recording from the ice hotel. We'll bring Taco Bell. We'll do it. Don't even need VIP tickets. What's your number one, Mike?
I just want to point out that I think Rob is just desperate for any excuse to order Taco Bell.
Hey, still, breaking news.
You know, in quarantine in North Dakota.
No, big news, guys. Taco Bell opens tomorrow. What? 9 a.m. I told my boss that I feel a sickness coming on about Monday. So yeah, I'll get my fix tomorrow.
You think that place is not going to be packed out of your mind? You're going to be waiting hours.
That's fine.
Okay, I'd have to take the day off.
I have to drive hours, so I mean, I'm still saving gas. Plus, one's 2 hours away, so you know, I got time.
All right.
My final thing that I wish I had said was, well, what is? Oh, this was from Hills That I'm Willing to Die On. I think books should be read in publication order. It drives me nuts when the publishing houses, whoever's in charge of selling the books, try to reorder the books in chronological order. Books should be read in the order they were released in. Information was given in a specific order. And that's the order that you should hear it in. After you read them in chronological or in publication order, mix it up. Read it chronologically. I don't care. But the first time you read a series, read it in the order that the books were released. Specific examples, The Chronicles of Narnia. Aside from the fact that there are specifically like nods to future books and little things set up so that you get exciting moments when you go, oh, this is that thing they were talking about. There's also genuinely points where things are said that would make no sense to be said if you had read them in publication or in chronological order. For example, the first time Aslan is ever mentioned, the narrator says, and of course, the children had no more of an idea who Aslan was than you do. But if you had read The Magician's Nephew first, you would know exactly who Aslan is, and that would be confusing. The other example is in the Dark Tower series. There is a book called A Wind Through the Keyhole, and it takes place on a random travel night that was otherwise off-screen travel between books 4 and 5, I believe. And it is weird and confusing and makes no sense if you read it. And not it makes no sense, but like there's things that they say and your details are fresh enough that you're like, that kind of contradicts itself. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Whereas if you read, it was the last book release. It was like, here's an extra thing that happened, you know, between these two books. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I have information from having read all of the books now, and it's all kind of blurred together, and so I miss these little inconsistencies. But it was recommended to me that I read them 1, 2, 3, 4, 4.5, 5. And I read it, and I was like, this is bizarre. I don't get it. And then when I read the rest of them, I was like, oh, I should have read that last. Books should be read in the order they were released in. You should get the information in the intended order the author wants to give it to you. You wouldn't show somebody Pulp Fiction for the first time, splicing it up and watching it chronologically.
I rest my case. They might enjoy it.
I might, but the average person, yeah, maybe not.
I will say, I think this is, there are some exceptions to the rule, but yeah, for the most part, I would agree with you. For people that read Stormlight, there's a book that came out between 4 and 5 where the author's like, yeah, it's basically, you know, Stormlight 4.5, but it's actually a sequel to Stormlight 5 about a character that has, like, is in peril in Stormlight 5. So you're like, all right, now I know there's just no stakes. Cause I know they make it through and everything. So that one, I would argue you should read Sunlit Man after you read Wind and Truth. But for the most part, yeah, it's a great rule of thumb to do. Well, Lou, what's your number one?
My number one, which I think it's funny because we foreshadowed literally all of my picks, but I was a degenerate our first like half a year on this podcast. So just like a general, I just said anything that I thought was remotely funny without even thinking about any other implications of what I was going to say. And maybe I should have toned it down. I feel bad that Robert had to censor me and spend like hours each day making sure that I didn't get war crimes in the beginning of our podcast. So, yeah, that's
what I'm going on record as saying I loved it.
Yeah, there's a place. Maybe not recording it was probably not the place that I should be doing it.
Yeah,
putting it out for all the world to see. Yeah, I mean, I at times I miss that, you know, off the pod part, but I don't miss the time that I was spending editing everything.
Was really fun to be able to basically be like, cut this out, and then just we would joke.
Oh, we would say awful things. It was the best.
Spill all the tea.
Now I think, like, if I'm blessed enough to maybe have a child or, you know, some sort of youngin to take care of, and 50 years from now they get to listen to this podcast, they're like, what the heck did this guy what's going on? This is not like pop would never say this.
So you would tell them not to read in publication order, to skip around, or listen in publication order, to just skip to, you know, episode 50, and that'll be good.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It took me a while to understand what you were saying, but yes.
I had the exact same confusion, but I do not words well. Understand also and agree.
No, you words well too well, some would say. You delete that, yeah.
Nope, not happening. This is live, my friend.
That was off-pod. speaking of off-pod, actually, by the time you're hearing this, you guys will have already heard it. Kyle, we were recording 2 days ago, and Kyle was like, get a timestamp in case you want to edit this off. And there was a short pause where I was like, I'm not editing this podcast. I was like, all right, I got it. And then he said some stuff, and I was like, holy crap. He was like, you can cut that. I was like, I almost put it as like when they put the clip in front of the podcast, mm-hmm. where you're like, I got to listen to get, yeah. Except that would have required actual editing, and so I didn't. But yeah, he's done some wild stuff. It was hilarious.
I do keep a whiteboard by me just in case, you know, I guess I have to scribble something down. It's rarely, but, you know, just I have one in my office.
Fun.
So, yeah, but I feel like we just moved on to the post and the pre and post pod now is our off pod time. So,
yeah.
We're still talking about you guys, just not on the pod. Should I cut that? So my number one came back all the way in episode 23, and it was one that Mike actually wasn't on, so he could have added anything through here, but it was our conspiracy theories episode featuring the Greensboro DMR boys, and it's one that I've known about for a long time, but I think a year and a half ago it definitely would have fit better a year and a half ago than it would now, because now I feel like people almost accept that this is just kind of more of a truth than a conspiracy, at least aspects of it. But like, I've heard about it for like 5 or 6 years so far. But it's called the Dead Internet Theory. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
So the Dead Internet Theory is that the internet we knew, quote unquote, died in 2016, being killed by artificial intelligence. And the conspiracy at the time was that we are now interacting with more artificial intelligence than we are other human beings. So there's less and less human interaction, which, again, I think a year and a half ago, that still would, people might have been like, I don't know. You know, I think there's still human interaction. But now I feel like everyone's just bombarded with bots and AI, that now it's just like, yeah, the internet is mostly AI. I think I listened to something, and it's like Twitter is like 70% AI is now in bots, and which is just wild. And then the more suspicious people or subscribers to this theory believe that major governments are behind it, and they're the ones controlling the bots and using it to sway culture. That one I don't think is quite as crazy, but a lot of people are saying that the internet, quote unquote, died when algorithmic feeds were interacted, because those are all AI driven, and with that, you know, the AI just became a lot more prevalent. And I feel like, you know, that was about the time you saw like YouTube changing and all that, so I can kind of see those dates add up. And one of the crazy parts about this is they're like, if this keeps on happening, which it is, we're getting more and more AI, is that since the internet is all driven on ad-based revenue, the huge swarm of bots will make ad-based revenue become less consistent and less profitable way to make sites, like big sites like YouTube and things like that, to keep them afloat. So they're like, we might actually like see subscription models, because a lot of bots might click on the ads, but they're not going to be spending money. So then people are going to have to, you know, have premium subscriptions to everything, which, you know, Hulu used to be free, but that was way before even the bot stuff happened. So I just think this is a really interesting conspiracy that I see more and more as, you know, yeah, we're just going to be interacting with mostly robots now. Now, to all of our toppers, AI toppers out there, we love you. Comment down below if you are, in fact, a topper AI. To our future AI overlords, we support you. Put us out on all your feeds, please.
That was funny.
What do you guys think? Yay, nay? Could you buy into the conspiracy?
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, Facebook for sure is all just bots and old people. Mostly bots.
Mm-hmm. The trick old people. Like yeah, that lobster shrimp Jesus that was going around a while ago.
Lobster shrimp Jesus.
Wild. You remember that? Crustacean Jesus or whatever? Crustacean Jesus?
No.
It's this big thing that's being just... It went viral with a lot of people sharing this, you know, shrimp Jesus thing. It was wild. But I'm sure all of us, like, I'd say most of us are, like, technologically literate, but I've definitely been fooled by one or two AI videos, and it's like, wow, it's just, you know, passing the Turing test and everything that, yeah, soon I think it's just, it's gonna be rare that we have human-on-human interaction for not, like, Discord or things like that, but, you know, just on Reddit or YouTube, definitely Facebook, but.
Yeah, there's probably gonna get to a point.
Already gone. Go for it.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying this is gonna get to a point where I'm just gonna have to just get off of the internet. Mm-hmm. Especially like getting information from Facebook is gonna be not possible. Like you shouldn't be doing it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was gonna say you're still getting information off Facebook.
Well, yeah, that's like 12 years past, and then I have to look at it, and then I have to, if it's interesting to me, then I have to research it like an idiot. Well, not like an idiot, but kind of feels like an idiot.
You got
to
confirm that it's AI now.
Yeah, it's just like, soon it's just going to be like, oh, I can't believe that this gorilla is singing Bob Martin. I don't know.
But yeah. I will say I love the video of Dan Campbell explaining why they beat the Packers, where he's like, look, you know, Matt LaFleur just doesn't have as many samurai swords, you know. that one, priceless.
Mm-hmm. There's some funny deep fakes, yeah, but it's wild. One thing I also heard.
Have you seen Bigfoot?
No, I've not.
There's like a ton of Bigfoot videos where he's like selfieing and he's running in the woods, and he like ate like a jalapeno pepper or whatever, and he's like sweating his butt off, just like silly stuff like that.
You're talking about the Jack's beef jerky, the Jack's Lynx commercials, right?
No, this is like it's the AI.
Him playing the saxophone, right? That's the one you're talking about?
What were you saying, Robert?
I was going to say, one thing I heard that was interesting that just shows like how crazy AI has gotten is that this was also a year ago. Every 2 weeks, ChatGPT puts out more words than all of our physical books combined, which is just wild, like that we have on Earth, which is just a crazy thought. But
I fully believe that.
Though. Yeah, it's probably even less now because a year ago, you know, I feel like it wasn't used as frequently as it is now. So,
I even have, like, people at work who are like, I'll be like, hey, do you know how to do this? And they're like, I don't know, just ChatGPT it. Like, our trainer was like, just, if you have questions, just search it.
I mean, out of all the chat engines, I guess I would trust ChatGPT over, like, Google AI. But, you know, still, there's some bad ones out there. So, to all our AI overlords, once again, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. Next week, I believe we're doing a deep dive. We haven't discussed it yet, so be sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that jazz. Follow along. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us check the comments down below. Give us a 5-star review. We'll read off on the pod. Other than that, thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Adios. Muchachos and muchachas.
Buenos tardes.
110-50011-11311. The numbers, Mason. What do they mean?
That algorithm has attitude.